Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week. And grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services, and the doctors and nurses and first responders on the COVID side, and of course, the wonderful people that keep the shelf stock during the pandemics. Tonight, we have a nice show lined up. We're just waiting for two more boxing historians to come on, but we're going to get right into the MMA portion of our show. I want to welcome Tony and Bob. Hope you guys are doing well. Let me put your mic on. Tony, how's it going?
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Okay. So, Tony, last week, Arthur Bedivev took Mr. Callum Smith to the center of the ring. They fought out like dogs until he cut him above the eye, and they had to stop the fight and get a technical out of it. What's your thoughts?
He's the beater being got the cut, or the Callum get the cut?
No, Callum Smith got it.
Yeah, I would have predicted that when I actually missed the fight. But that's definitely Beater Beav is probably one of the toughest guys in boxing. So I wouldn't have expected anything but damage. I guess that's the best word, damage.
Mm-hmm. Bob, you got a big one tonight with Aniker versus Johnny Walker.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff going on tonight. Johnny Walker, they got signed for. So tonight is headline: Sean Strickland versus Dricus du Plessis, and that'll be a good fight. I'm not going to pay money to see Sean Strickland fight, though. I hope du Plessis takes him over. Raquel Pennington's going against Myra Bueno Silva for the co-main event. My best is for Raquel. Co-main event, Neil Bagley versus Mike Mallett. I'm hoping for Neil. Chris Curtis versus Marky Andre Barreta. I'm hoping for Chris Curtis. So it's a pretty stacked card tonight. I'm watching the early prelims and the prelims. We just had a great bloody fight with Jessica Drosses. Just bloodied up her opponent, but I don't have her name right off the top of my head. So, big night for the UFC with this. But we're prepping for, you brought up Miller. He just fought last weekend on the Johnny Walker card with Jim Miller took the submission victory over Gabriel Benavidez. So Jim Miller's going to get a slot at UFC 300. UFC 300 is in the books. It's going to be a packed show. A lot of stuff happening for UFC right now, prepping for UFC 300. But congratulations to Jim Miller getting ready for that. And so not much of a time off for Jim, but, and as old as he is, I'm always go voting for the old guy. He's proven himself as a veteran. He'll get his slot in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Miller's going to fight, Paul, Feldman. Is that how they say his name? In 300.
Jim Miller.
Yeah. Feldaa.
Yes, hold on real quick. I had that pulled up. Oh my God, I'm brain farting on that one. But yeah, I believe you're right. As soon as I find it. Yeah, so he gets his wish. UFC 300, Dana White promised one of the most stacked cards. And let's see, Jim Miller is going against, and looks like you're right. Okay, good stuff. Jim Miller is going against Bobby Green.
Yeah, this 300 is really going to be a stacked house from everything I see. I mean, every time I look around, another big name wants to get on there. It's almost like a two-day card they're going to have to put on. They have so many people.
Well, and the thing is, I'm getting excited for it, too. They got a BMF, bad motherfucker title going for Gaethje versus Holloway. That's going to be epic. But the thing is, I mean, with that many people going towards that many training camps, somebody's going to get hurt, so that schedule may change a little bit. So we don't get your panties a bunch if some of those fighters end up dropping out and getting replaced.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question to you about Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway.
OMG. Yeah, for a BMF title, those are two great fellas for that BMF title. Max Holloway's got he's going to be locked down in the UFC Hall of Fame. Max Holloway's been along for a long time, and he's phenomenal. Going for the BMF, because these guys aren't, well, I don't want to take it away from Gaethje, but Holloway's probably not going to get a chance at the title again. So a BMF title is fantastic for Holloway. But again, you know me, I'm always voting for Gaethje. I like his style. He goes out there and just brawls, and he's got amazing conditioning. So, but then that describes Max Holloway as well. So that will be, I mean, just that fight alone, like, again, I'm not going to buy in tonight because I don't give two shits about Strickland. But I like Dupressis, but I'll probably be getting the UFC 300 fight or scheduling that to go somewhere to watch that. That's going to be a great lineup.
Okay. Hey, Tony, what'd you think of Icy Cruz calling out Ryan Garcia? What's your thoughts on that one?
I absolutely love it. I love Isaac Cruz. I want to see him fight more bigger people. He's, in my opinion, I think he beat Tank the night he fought Tank. I want to see that one more than I want to see anything. But Ryan Garcia, I think that would be a good pre-fight before he takes on Tank if that happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't expect Garcia to make it through it either. I think Isaac's going to knock him out.
Oh, good. We'll have to talk to Z when he gets on because, he's a Ryan Garcia guy. Well, let me ask you about Virgil Ortiz. He looks like he's in top shape, and he's up to fighting Frederick Dawson coming up in the next couple of weeks. What's your thoughts?
I don't think Ortiz is going to lose anytime soon, especially Dawson. But you're right. He looks great. I think he's going to excel here for a little while before he starts his decline.
Okay. Bob, I want to go back over to Dustin Poirier. Can he really? He talks about a lot of things, and it seems like he just backing away from major fights at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's up with him. I mean, like, he's a phenomenal athlete, and he's coming off that loss at that last BMF to Gaethje. They've talked about matching him up with Conor McGregor again, if that could happen at UFC 300, if Conor McGregor's coming back. Poirier is a phenomenal athlete, but, at anybody at the top of that list, they're looking for maximum pay with the least amount of beating. And right now he's got a tough lesion with a lot of beating involved. So, his management himself is probably being really selective on what fights he picks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tony, there's also a very strong push for Virgil Ortiz to take on Terrence Crawford once. Probably get that eye taken care of. If that were to happen, what's your thoughts?
I'm not a huge Terrence Crawford fan at all. I've really never been. I was a big Errol Spence fan, and obviously those two fought and Errol Spence lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to give Terrence Crawford credit because the last two fights I've seen him in, he's just dominated. He's the champion, and Virgil Ortiz is a great fighter, but I don't think he'll beat Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
I think Crawford's at the top of the game right now. He's probably going to stay there for a little while, and I didn't expect it with Spence. That kind of hurt me a little bit there, but he's the man. He proved it. He's got the title, and I don't think anybody's going to throw him off his throne anytime soon.
Okay. Well, what about we got Jaime Munguia going against Ryder tonight. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, like I was saying, I think a couple weeks ago, Munguia is like the knuckle dragger in boxing. He's boring to watch. at one time when he first came in to boxing, I was like, this guy's going to absolutely destroy everybody. And, I mean, with the size and everything, he could if he was just I don't know what he would have to do to improve himself at this point, but he had the option and the ability to at that time. Since then, obviously, he's gotten labeled the knuckle dragger. John Ryder can be very, very dangerous. I truly think if John Ryder can get in on that size of Munguia, that Ryder will win the fight.
The question is, I guess, in everybody's mind is, Jaime is now at 42-0. Can he withstand the next nine people to get ahead of Floyd's 50-0?
That's the way he's winning his fight. It's his size. You know, obviously people have a hard time getting in on him to knock him out. John Ryder definitely could do that. It's just with that kind of size and physique and everything, I don't think he's a very good boxer by any means. He just knows how to push people off and get a couple points and let people not get in because of his size. And will he get that record? We'll see tonight, because I'm hoping Ryder will put him on the canvas. But it's going to be hard. But he definitely could do it. If Ryder can get through tonight on it, yeah, Munguia probably will get up there near Floyd's record. But I think it's a different way of looking at it. Floyd fought some pretty tough people. I don't think Munguia has really done the same.
Okay. Bob, there seems to be a huge question mark over the furthering the career of Ferguson after his – can he come back after his last defeat?
Tony, he's got a lot going for him. Tony Ferguson definitely has got his slot in the UFC Hall of Fame. Tony Ferguson is great at announcing. Tony Ferguson knows his stuff. Can he come back from the fight? Yeah, he hasn't retired yet. So he's going to come back. We know that. I mean, he hasn't made that announcement. Dana kind of wants him to retire. We all know he's going to get a spot in the UFC Hall of Fame. But, you know, most guys like to go out on a win. So does he negotiate a fight against an up-and-comer? Because right now, Tony, without his last win, is kind of becoming a stepping stone. Kind of like, you know, I don't want to say Holloway. Like, give Tony Ferguson a shot at the BMF, or give Tony Ferguson a shot at, you know, something else at a different title. But is he going to climb all the way to the top? I don't know. Age is a MF. I mean, I came out of retirement at 39, 40, 41. I shouldn't have. It's a younger guy's sport. Like, ego is the killer over men over 40. We've talked about this before. I don't know if Tony's got a career ahead of him, but he might have a fight or two left before he retires.
Okay. Well, what about Anaker versus Walker tonight? What's your thought of that? 10 o'clock.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Anaker versus Walker. I didn't know they were fighting. Hold on, let me go to the prelims. On the main card? Or are you talking about last weekend?
I thought it was this weekend's main card. When I was pulling it off this morning.
No, last weekend was Ankalov versus Walker. And Ankalov just walked over Johnny Walker. Walker, they met before. They met previously, and Ankalov threw an illegal knee, and so the ref stopped it prematurely. Johnny Walker, you know, we talked about that last weekend. He's a very unorthodox fighter. He's got some wheel kicks, got some really crazy striking. But Magomed Ankalov is just a phenomenal wrestler, and he went in there, and his striking is getting better match by match, fight by fight, day by day. and he went in there and just knocked him the freak out. Got a nice overhand right, knocked him down into the cage and walked back up with another right, square right in the nose, and the ref jumped in. So that was a TKO, KO performance from Ankalaev, but that was last weekend.
So the Tony, let's get back over to your side. Bill Haney shut. That's Darryl Haney's brother. Shut down talks with Broner for another fight. He called him the devil's error. Just told him to move on. Have you? What would happen there if Haney went in with Adrian Broner?
Well, I'm going to say it honestly. I have said it before. I'm not a Devin Haney fan either, and I was very impressed with his last fight. I think he just was above and beyond anything I would have imagined. I give him credit for that one for sure, because I don't think this ride is going to last too long for him. Broner definitely would have the ability, I think, to put him on the mat. And I think it might be a little bit of they're a little bit worried about that. So I don't know. I can go either way. I mean, Haney's great. You know, you're going to have to get into him. If Broner can't get into him to get him, Haney's going to be all over the place. He's going to score the points. He's going to win the fight. If that were to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, excuse me, Bob. Bob, there's all of a sudden there's a lot of stuff up about John Jones. Dana calls him out as being a bad employee. Cormier calls him out over something that happened in texts that they were both sending to each other. What's the true story? Is this all a hype, or is this does Jones want to come back MMA?
No, I mean it's true. So Jones has been around a long time. It's kind of like, I guess we live in the Tyson story, but different. You know what I mean? Jones came
right
on. I mean, he was the youngest UFC champion. You know, so of course
right. He
was a cocky little son of a bitch. You know, and all of us are. I mean, and before I go, well, remind me later. I don't want to get sidetracked. So with my apology. But anyway, so Jones, like, yeah, he said shit back then 10 years ago. We're talking 10 years ago, 2014, 2010. It's 2024. So he was a young star athlete. He wanted more money. The UFC wanted to control how much money they were paying. So the Frenettis and Dana White were going back with text messages. These text messages came up in a court case. And, yeah, they were inflammatory, I guess, against Jones, call him a punk, call him a kid, calling him a sleaze bag, all this stuff, because he was holding out for more money. And Jones even came back later and said, you know, hey, I got a great relationship with the UFC now. This was 10 years ago. I was a punk kid. I wanted all this stuff. They didn't want to play. So, you know, I was going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that stuff kind of came to fruition. But, you know, they've got a good relationship now. So Jones is sitting pretty good. But this kind of hit the news. Of course, all of us fighters go through our arrogant phase because we want to get paid. I mean, that's the whole point we get into this sport. It's not like we get into this sport. I mean, yeah, we want to be the top person and we want to be the best, but you don't want to be the best and be broke either.
Right. Okay. Hey, Tony. Got Danny Garcia wants to go in and fight Lara. Is that imaginable thing? Is that a real thing? I mean, I know he wants to, but is it a real possibility that they could end up together?
I don't think so. I don't think that one will come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure he's going to really want that. He's getting older. Mm-hmm. And Laura's not necessarily one to mess with. So, yeah, he can wish and hope. But I don't see that one. I don't see that coming to fruition at all.
Uh-huh. Okay. How about we got news the other day that they signed a contract, Sergei Kovalov and Robin Safar. Kovalov has had, you know, been on and off for the last few years for whatever reason. What do you think of this one?
Well, I love Sergei Kovalov, and when him and Triple G back in like 2012 on were just dominating boxing, I just couldn't keep my eyes off the guy watching him. I mean, he was just he's just badass. And when he took the losses from Andre Ward and then, of course, Canelo, that kind of started bringing him down the ladder a little bit where he's – I think it affected him mentally in his boxing. I think he realizes now he's probably not going to ever climb to the top again, get whatever money he could get, move on. This fight mm-hmm. with this guy, I call that just another one he can win. I think he'll beat him, but it's more of like a tune-up thing for something else that maybe he's trying to get ready for. Maybe mm-hmm. he's trying to make mm-hmm. that comeback, but I just don't know if he's going to – let's put it this way. He doesn't want to go too far back up the ladder because there's too many people up there right now that could take him out, and he doesn't need to go out that way.
Okay. Yeah, Bob, there's a long line of people that really started MMA to get on their way. One of them was Yoel Romero. What do you see in his future? Anything?
Well, I didn't look up Yoel. Now, Yoel has been around almost as long – well, not as long as I have, but and he came in. Yoel is a freaking specimen. That guy is just so built. And he did really good in the UFC and stuff, and I think he went over to another division. So as far as him doing good, I've talked to a couple people. I mean, BKC is kind of the retirement program for all of us old UFC guys that got cigar tissue. So that might be where he wants to head.
Okay.
And I also want to take this point, you know, as far as role. I recently did an interview for another podcast, Locked Out Podcast, and I got so tied up at the end. I was dropping our podcast, Fighting Words Podcast, and how we've got amazing boxing legends that come on here and talk about boxing, but I got so tied up in telling people how I don't even know how to get on a podcast that it sounded very arrogant and ignorant. So I apologize to all of our fans when that drops, if anybody hears that, that I love doing our show. And I'm thankful for that opportunity every week. But, yeah, so I'm not sure. I haven't heard it yet, but I just kept telling the story, like, I don't even know how to get on a podcast and this and that. And I didn't mention Z or Ty or you or, you know, all the amazing talent that we have on our show. So I apologize for that.
I don't think anybody's got the balls to make fun of you, buddy.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't. Nope, you do whatever you
I'm
have to do.
I'm certainly not going to.
No, they just got me tied up. They just kept asking stories about all my old fights and stuff like that. And I was just – I had it in my notes to drop our podcast and get us a plug. And then when we got to it, it was towards the end, and I was already, you know, storming around the room the way I do, acting with my hands and this and that, you know. So.
Yeah. For those of you listening and may not have seen it, the Baltimore Ravens won 34-10 over the Houston, Texans in a really hard-fought battle. And both teams should be congratulated for being out there at probably maybe 10 or 12 degree weather and playing football. But, so we just want to pass that along.
Well, everyone knows how I feel about ball sports, but man, I give it up to the expansion teams. Like, again, we're old enough to remember there's only so many teams. Like, a lot of these kids don't realize that. So when the Ravens, the Texans, and all these other guys came out, like, dude, those were some of the most epic teams, because those guys were all like the B-rated guys that weren't already playing the NFL. So, I mean, if like all the old video games, like you play those certain teams, those guys are amazing. So hats yep. off to the expansion teams, even though I'm not a ball sport guy.
Yeah, that's okay. It's this year's been some of the games have been extremely good to watch. Some of them have been why did I spend this much time? I think the one tonight, Green Bay versus 49ers, is going to be a clash of the Titans. And definitely tomorrow, my wife's big one is Buffalo Bill against who they have? Who are they playing? The Chiefs. Yeah. We have a granddaughter-in-law that is a huge Buffalo fan, so her grandmother here is definitely going to be on her side. And after that is going to be the Bucks playing the Lions, which we have to divide the house down because Bobby and his friends, Trevor and his friends are definitely Lions fans. And of course, Brady and his fans are Bucks fans. So it should be a very interesting day tomorrow. Anybody has any Band-Aids or anything they want to send over here, just let me know, and we'll probably use them. But,
disconnect the phone line so you don't get any domestic violence calls by the sheriff's office.
Yeah. Yeah, that 22F, hey. I'm out of the house.
Exactly.
I'm going to throw it out there. Tony, can you bake me up a whole warehouse full of crow pie, just shit pie to eat? Because the fact that Frank just spoke out loud and Sharon could hear us in the background. I got to apologize to the matriarch, the fact that you could hear us this whole time. I had no idea. I am so sorry for my mouth. I am eating crow right now. I feel so bad that you've been listening to me for the last so many years. Love and respect.
She's got something special for you in store, bud.
That's right. Tony, I have a very special section for you tonight. There's a transgender boxer, Christy Martin, and she's screaming that she can't get any good fights. Now, said certain things about a certain boxer from Orlando, I knew this was exactly, we had to put it in your category.
Oh, my God. I'm definitely going to get an ass whooping on this one. Well, let me kind of redirect that for a second here. Have you ever heard of what they call the furries? Do you know what the furries? I think Bob knows, but and it's something that's rather new. But
I just learned about this recently. That's why I'm dying laughing. I had no idea.
It's true. It is true. In fact, there's a local high school, and let me explain the furry thing. We've got all of our little transgenders, and I'm not making fun of anybody. So if you're transgender out there, you know, that's your choice. God bless you. But there's if you associate yourself as a furry, especially if you're in school, then these schools that are making these transgender bathrooms and so forth for people like Oscar De La Hoya, but
I think you slipped that in there.
He's gonna whoop my ass because we don't live very far apart. So, sorry about that. But these furries are. If they go to the school and say, Principal Oscar, I'm a furry. I need a bathroom set up for me. They put kitty litter in the bathroom for these kids to go in there and take a shit and a piss and to justify that they're 30. Okay.
I want that.
Now, I'm just shocked by that. I'm shocked. So I'm not
going to. I want
that
option.
Yeah. Hopefully they change
I,
that
I
litter box.
I want to take a shit in a litter box. I want
oh,
that option.
Okay. Now, see, if I did that anywhere else, I'd get locked up and go to jail.
That's right. No, you know, I want that. If they get it, I want it.
Yeah.
You do it at the high school. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Tony. Yeah,
I was going to say you do it at the high school and you know, it's okay. But we'll stop there. And to answer your question about the transgender, I don't agree with that at all. I don't think there's no place for that. I think Bob, I believe, is maybe the one that said it last week. A male should fight a male that was born that way. A female should fight a female. It's not really fair the other way.
Right. No,
I'll leave it.
That's the next Jake Paul fight.
Yeah. Oh, Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be fighting a furry and take a dump in the corner with a kitty litter.
They're both not really boxers, so let's just put them together and just watch the shit show.
I would love to see it, but you know what the outcome of that one's going to be because they probably discussed it beforehand.
Hey, Bob, I haven't seen anything up on the wires lately about Francis Ngannou. Has he got anything ready? Do you know?
No, I don't know. Am I on mute? Okay, so no, I'm good. So I don't know. Last I heard, he was matches with another boxer and stuff. I'm all behind Francis Ngannou. I'm getting paid, getting some of that boxer money, but I don't know where he's gone with that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to chime in on that one too. That he really impressed me the night he fought Tyson Fury, and I think every one of us that saw that fight that saw him knock Tyson down hard. I mean, that Ngannou guy, I didn't know much about him. Obviously, I don't stay up with MMA that much, but he just – I hope he stays in boxing because he's a badass. And I really want to see him fight Tyson Fury for the second time because I truly think he won the first fight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I've said a lot of times, you know, us MMA guys, we can't outbox a boxer. But there's some of us that got really good hands. Like, I would have no problem transitioning. I'm pretty good with my head movement, my hands for a heavyweight. I got no problem with that. I would fight Jake Paul today. Watching this, like, I'm not going to tune in for Sean Strickland with his bullshit orthodox shit. I would fight him tomorrow. Of course, I outweigh him by 60 pounds. But the thing is, like, for the most part, boxing is pugilism. It's an art. And there's some of us that got some really good hands, but we have so many other avenues to win. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, you can't – if you get a boxer on the ground, like, I have the worst takedown defense of anybody on the planet. Like, I'm good on the ground, and I love standing up. So if you can get me to the ground, great. But you're going to take me to the ground. You're going to be on top. I just didn't have that aspect of my fight game. So most boxers are bad on their back. So if a boxer can learn a little bit of self-defense on the back, how to pull a guard or a butterfly guard and do a couple sweeps, man, there's a lot to be said with the power of a boxer on the ground and on their feet.
And Ngannou really stepped up to the plate and showed his skills. He was unbelievable that night. So I want to see him stay where he's at for at least a little longer and try to get some really good fights because that guy could definitely take a title.
Mm-hmm. Going back to boxing, Tony, Jason Manheim, Malone, took Saul Sanchez to the school Thursday night. Do you know anything about those two?
I don't really keep up with those too much. I know a little bit about Sanchez. He's supposedly an up-and-coming boxer, so I'm kind of unsure why he would have lost that one. That sounded more like a tune-up fight, to be honest with you. But no, I don't really keep up with those two.
Okay.
How about a shout out to the Yamanaka brother and sister, the first world champion,
right.
Japanese sister and brother world champs in boxing. You know, that's pretty legit. It's a whole family.
They're not transgender, yeah. Are they?
No, but I think Bob's got some kind of a camera looking over my shoulder, because that's the very next thing I was going to talk about.
Well, you sent me your list, doggy, so I got you.
Yeah.
but that's just it. I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, I was pretty stoked. What, you know, we did it differently. Like, I fought in the UFC, and my wife was a UFC doc. So until Ronda Rousey and Travis Brown did it, being married, me and my wife were the first couple to actually be in the UFC ring before they did. And then they were the first two fighters to be in the ring. So the fact that a brother and a sister, the fact that that lineage goes on, and the Japanese lineage is one, I don't know what you say, I just respect the culture so much. I mean, they're coming from the samurais, and, you know, I had some other fighters, you know, Bambi and other people in our ring. That the Japanese culture is something I highly respect, in the fact that the fighting spirit and the fact that a brother and sister got in there and they're both world champions. I don't follow boxing that much, but, man, my hat's off and much respect.
Mm-hmm. Hey, another question I had for you, Bob, was on Alex Pereira. Doesn't seem to be moving much right now, but he was one of the cornerstones of starting MMA. Can you fill us in on that one?
I think, didn't Pereira just go through something with his ex or something like that? Just broke up with his ex? I can't remember if that's him or not.
Mm-hmm.
But he made the news because he wanted to be transparent he broke up with his ex because she was already married or something like that. But Pereira's, you know, he's changed way south. He's beat Izzy. He's gone up a weight class. He's champion right now. I can't really follow where he's kind of all over the place right now.
Good. How about do you see anything other than that coming for him?
Say again? Sorry.
Yeah, I was asking, do you see anything coming up for Daniel Cormier?
No, he's got his little spot. I mean, Cormier's got his spot in the UFC Hall of Fame. He was a two-time world champion. He's doing his commentary and stuff like that. He's got his podcast. Cormier's pretty much retired. I mean, I'll tell you, like, from all of us fighters' standpoint, once you make it to a certain level, you want out. This is the poor man's sport. This is a way for us to make a shot at it, to go out with all of our – I was talking about that on the Lights Out podcast. You don't get into fighting because you're a rich, happy kid. You get into fighting because, you know, your parents are broke and you're kind of emotionally scarred and, you know, you've been put down a lot in your life. And, you know, it gives you an opportunity to vent that aggression and go somewhere with it. So – mm-hmm. You know, with the exception of, like, you know, I hear BJ Penn comes from money, but most MMA guys don't get into this stuff. I'm not sure. I can't speak for, but I didn't get into getting punched in the face because I was successful, you know, or I had a good life. And so it was an opportunity for me to grow and focus that stuff and travel. And I'm blessed for having that opportunity because that pretty much kept me out of prison, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, that's a damn good reason to get into it. So what about Max Holloway? Just had a wonderful time with Arnold Allen. Now does that keep either one of them out of 297?
No, Max Holloway already got lined up for the BMF against Justin Gaethje, so he's going on to bigger and better things. And he may or may not announce his retirement on a win or a loss after that.
Uh-huh. How about Alan?
I don't follow Alan as much. Kind of same thing. All of us that are getting older, and anybody in the fight game over 30, the 40s hurt. They just hurt. It's all I got. How I can encapsulate the 40s. So they're all trying to get their way out. And Max Holloway's got a good thing at announcing. And as far as Alan, I don't know. He'll look for his thing. But he's getting up there too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, Tony, we got Terrence Crawford versus Tim Zhu and the undisputed 154. If that were to be tomorrow, I know you're probably a Crawford guy, but what do you think of the matchup?
Well, I mean, Crawford guy, I'm not a Crawford guy in the sense of that, you know, one of my favorite guys by any means. I give him respect because he's the champ and he's proved it. But with that set up, if that was tomorrow, I'd still lean in Terrence Crawford's corner. I think at this moment, he's not going to get beat. I don't think there's too many people that even really have a chance right now. So, I'd be leaning to Crawford.
Okay. There's a couple of girl boxers that were just go at it pretty hard. Natasha Jonas, she beat Michaela Meyer in a 10-round split decision. But boy, did she bully her up! I don't know if you follow either one of those.
No, I try not to. But
yeah, oh, that way. You don't follow a female, you don't have a chance to get arrested, so you don't meet new people.
You know? Well, you just read my mind, so you've got something over my shoulder right now, too. So.
Well, guys, it's, we're up against the our time limit here. I'm sorry that I do know that Z and Ty are working on a film project. So that's what took them away. I just got a text from them. They will be back next week. Let me just make sure I got everything here. Tony, Bob, did we talk about Ian Geary?
No, we didn't bring up Ian Geary. No, I didn't have anything on him, so I apologize for that.
Okay. How about Arnold? Faria and the rumors versus him.
Alex Faria.
I said that wrong. Faria.
We already talked about that. So we're shooting up. Let's just pump up UFC 300 coming up. Zhang Weili versus Yan Xian. Again, Chinese names. I apologize for butchering them. That's going to be amazing. The bad BMF title, the bad motherfucker title, Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway. We got Charles Oliveira going Armand Tsarukyan. That's going to be an amazing technical fight. And I know if Caden was on right now, he'd be blowing that fight up, about all the details and the amazing stuff of Oliveira versus Armand. Another fight, Armand Sterling versus Calvin Kattar. That's going to be a phenomenal fight. UFC 300 is just going to be packed. That's going to be the fight that brings everyone back to watching the UFCs. Jiří Prozák, up-and-comer. Alexander Rakic, again, that's going to be a phenomenal fight. Cody Garbrandt versus Deiveson Figueroa. Two ultimate legends going at it. And then Jim Miller versus Bobby Green. Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. This fight is so stacked. Coming up, when is it? Let me skip ahead. Sorry. My computer. And that will be April 13th. So we've got a lot of stuff happening between now and then. But April 13th, I can't get away. We'll just keep talking about that every week as it boils.
Mm-hmm. Good. There was something else I wanted to ask you. I'm going through the whole list. I guess that's about it. Well, guys, I want to thank you again for being so well prepared and ready to go. I hope everybody and their family feel healthy. Tony, I know you were down. Are you doing okay now?
Yeah, I still got the cough that's going around, but I'm much better than I was. Thank you.
Good, good. All right, Bob, I'm glad that your wife's back on the stateside and having a good time and planning that family vacation. And I hope you guys all have a great time on that one. But please give her
We're 5 months out. We're going to fly out of Tampa. I'm going to see if I can't figure out a way to come see you guys before
good.
We leave. But
that'll be great.
Just fire up with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll come up to Tampa if I have to. No problem. But and again, thank you for her service. In case anybody doesn't know, that Bob's wife is a medical officer with the Marines, currently stationed in San Diego, California. And we appreciate everything she's done, especially this last 6 months. She's had some really tough road to hoe. But all right. And Tony will lead us out.
Yes, they will. Thanks to Bob's wife for her service. That's awesome. My son was a Marine as well. So, simplify. Let me go ahead and shout out now while I can to Oscar De La Hoya for taking it for the team because, he's a good guy. He really is a good guy. I don't want to. It helps us all. It heals. Yeah, sure. I'm going to need to be healed, too, after he beats my ass, but it's okay. It's okay.
You got to find you first, though, right?
I hope he brings a pink one when he hits me with it. But love all the fans. Thank you for listening and putting up with me as well as my colleagues here. As well, one of us is getting in trouble here soon, especially with the furry thing. So, but you guys, yeah, we'll have to get that another time. But love you guys. Thank you for having me on, and looking forward to next week.
Okay, Bob.
Absolutely great show. Missing Z, Ty, and Caden. Thanks, Tony, for being here with me and helping me out. Frank, for putting it together. All of our Fighting Words friends and family, please call in. We love you. God bless. Keep those eyes up, chins down. Have a great week.
Yeah, if anybody was worrying about Caden, he has a new love of his life. My name is C-A-S-H. That's why he works
for me. Oh, jeez. I knew it. Something. I thought it was just a job. I was okay with just a job. Now it's, oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation. The men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and see somebody in a uniform, please let them know that you know they're there. Not everybody in uniform is a bad guy. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcat, Patrolman Jeff David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffy Yazowicz, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henler, Sergeant Tom Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Chris Levick, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Anafa Crispin, Lakeland PD, Lieutenant Joe Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Deputy Josh Meyer, Nassau County Sheriff's Department, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Chief Al Hogo, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Deputy Mike Hargrove, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Blaine Lane, and Deputy Brian Myers, County Sheriff's Department, Sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald, Philadelphia Sheriff's Office, and Temple University Police Department, and Sergeant Raul Mendez, Philadelphia Police Department. my brothers and sisters, so you may be 10-7 at this point in time. At some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Good night, God bless, and have a great weekend, everyone.
County Dispatch in 1999. County Dispatch in 1999. County Dispatch in 1999. All units be advised, 1999's response to his last emergency. And God rest his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed. Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.